Good afternoon, Dana.
Good afternoon.
Hogwarts is a boarding school. In the books or even in the films, is there any reference to any of the kids kind of feeling lonely and missing their parents?
It's kind of strange. You would expect a little bit more of that, but it doesn't seem like they do. And in fact, the one example that I can think of is Hermione. It seems like even on her holidays, she doesn't go and visit her parents that much. And she often winds up at Ron Weasley's house at the Burrow or doing something else over the holidays rather than spending time with her parents, which is kind of odd.
So it's not really typical then in that regard, because I would imagine a certain percentage of kids who go to boarding school will not particularly enjoy it that much.
Right. They all seem to have a really good time there, and a lot of them actually stay through the Christmas holidays, and hardly any of them, I don't think, go home for the Easter holidays.
And do they learn normal subjects like English and mathematics and that kind of thing?
Not at all. That's one of the strangest gaps, I think, in their curriculum. And I think J.K. Rowling explains it away by saying that the children are homeschooled or go to muggle schools before they attend Hogwarts. And it doesn't quite work. They don't study things like English or math. I suppose you could say a class like arithmancy would be like math, but it's really limited and it's not a required course. So their curriculum is really, really strange, actually. I don't know if you could call a Hogwarts student very well-rounded once they graduate.
You'd be. Do they do an exam at the end of, you know, is there some sort of equivalent of a leaving cert, as we call it here, or a SATs or an A-level?
They actually do have that. In their fifth year, they take their OWLs or OWLs, and if they score well enough on those exams, they can continue on to what they call the NEWT or NEWT level study, and you basically have to score a certain amount based set by the teacher who's teaching the particular subject if you want to continue to study that particular subject. And Hogwarts is 7 years, so I think it works a lot more actually like the old British school system than maybe even the modern British school system, although I have to admit I'm a little fuzzy on exactly how the British school system works.
And once they have their newts, is there any incidents in the books where somebody goes on to university afterwards, or what do they do afterwards, do you know?
Well, it's kind of strange. There's not any reference made to university, but we do know that some kinds of jobs require more education. When Harry tells his head of house, Professor McGonagall, that he would like to be an Auror, she lets him know that there's going to be additional training even after he goes to Hogwarts. But for the most part, it seems like they rely on Hogwarts to train for, people for whatever they want to do afterward. And there's not a lot of schooling afterwards, and there's not reference to made to any wizarding universities or anything like that.
Mm. So, I mean, they're really training there to be wizards. If they're in the wrong place if they want to be a geography teacher.
Exactly.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they're very weak in geography in the books. The students don't seem to know a whole lot about that, in my opinion, anyway.
And would you say that the level of discipline in Hogwarts is particularly high, given that Harry Potter and his friends seem to spend an inordinate amount of time not in class, sneaking into parts of the school where they're not supposed to be? They don't seem to do any work at all.
Well, it is kind of strange. They do seem to be able to get away with an awful lot, and it seems actually kind of dangerous to send your kid to Hogwarts, actually. Harry's confronted with all kinds of strange monsters and actually very strange teachers, to be honest with you, that would make me kind of nervous if it were my child, you know, to know that he was encountering all of that.
And I was looking through a list of the various teachers. Now, I wouldn't be an expert in this at all, but it did leap out at me that there was an awful lot of people teaching Defence Against the Dark Arts. And then I was told by those who know better that they rarely lasted longer than one book.
Right. That actually comes out of the fact that Lord Voldemort wanted the job. And when he interviewed with Dumbledore, Dumbledore would not hire him because he realized that Voldemort was really mired in the dark arts and was really afraid that he would not be teaching kids defense against the dark arts, but really be there to recruit Death Eaters. And so when Voldemort did not get the job, he put a curse on it, and there, as a result, the teachers never did last very long. But every single book, there's a new one.
You think they'd know by this stage of the game not to take the job. So who would
it
be...
It started to get very hard for Dumbledore to fill that job. He wound up in the fifth book having to take a somebody from the ministry because he could not find anybody.
It's a bit like being Minister for Finance in this country. Looking at Hogwarts, who would you say is the worst teacher there and who is the best teacher there, purely on educational terms now?
Well, I actually have to say that I think Dolores Umbridge, who does Defense Against the Dark Arts in Harry's fifth year, is probably the worst teacher that he encounters. She takes the job basically because the Minister of Magic wants her to be there to keep an eye on Dumbledore and keep an eye on the other teachers. And her lessons basically consist of busy work. They copy, they read the book basically in the lesson. They don't do any practical learning at all. She doesn't want them learning the actual spells so much as the theory behind them, because secretly, the ministry is afraid that learning combat skills will enable the students to rise up against the ministry. And it's basically a lot of government interference in education. And it's really ironic that she's given the task of inspecting her other teachers to see if they're up to scratch, because she's probably the worst teacher that they have. I really don't think they learn anything. And as a result, Hermione gets the idea to start the Dumbledore's Army, which is a secret defense class that Harry Potter teaches. And most of the defense against the dark arts that the students learn in Harry's fifth year is taught by Harry himself. And he turned out to be a very good defense against the dark arts teacher.
Yeah, you get the impression that that Harry and Hermione and all these, they're very skilled and they do learn a lot, but it's in their extracurricular time they learn a lot rather than necessarily in class.
Right.
Who would be the best teacher there in Hogwarts?
I think probably the defense against the dark arts teacher that Harry has in his third year, who is Remus Lupin, and the reason he doesn't wind up lasting is it gets out that he's a werewolf. And, of course, everybody is scared to have him around their children. But he actually does a really good job supporting students who don't have a lot of confidence. Neville Longbottom, for instance, is in that class. And when Professor Snape insults Neville in front of the entire class and in front of Professor Lupin by saying that, you know, you don't want to trust Neville Longbottom unless Hermione Granger's hissing instructions in his ear, Lupin leaps to his defense and says, I'm sure that he's going to do just fine. And he gives him the first task, which is to they're going to try and get rid of a boggart that's in the wardrobe in the staff room. And the boggart basically takes the shape of whatever you're the most scared of. Mm. And the trick to getting rid of it is to try and turn that into something funny. So when Professor Lupin asks Neville what would it turn into, he said it would turn into Professor Snape. That's kind of sad. You know, one of your teachers is the thing that you're the most scared of.
Yeah, but it's nice to know he was a supportive werewolf. That's the most important thing. Dana, we have to leave it there. And thank you very much for talking to us today. Writer and blogger Dana Hough, thanks a million.